This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The Joint Committee of the South Dakota Legislature will come to order. This, leading us today in prayer is Reverend Craig Wexler of the Lutheran Memorial Church of Pierre. After that, I will be leading us in the pledge.
Let us pray. Creator God, you have created all things and you have tasked us with being the stewards of all you have created, all you have given, all that you have bestowed upon us. As we gather today to hear of our stewardship and whether we are or where we are at as a state, we pray for your guidance and wisdom. We pray that you will guide our leadership into thoughts, discussion, and decision-making that continues to provide your stewardship upon the lives of all households throughout South Dakota. We pray for your provision. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we also pray, give us this day our daily bread. All that we have is yours, O Lord, given to us as a gift each day. And we pray that you will guide us in using your provisions responsibly and with sound hearts and minds so that all people can find comfort and wholeness in our communities. In your name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This time I will ask the Secretary of the Senate to call to order the Senate.
Senator Blair, Boland, Kamak, Cronin, Kerr, DeSanto, Ewing, Foster, Greenfield, Heinert, Jensen, Kennedy, Klum, Kobach, Langer, Maher, Monroe, Nelson, Nesseba, Norstrup, Otten, Partridge, Rush, Russell, Schoenbeck, Smith, Sohol, Solano, Stalzer, Steinhauer, Sutton, White, Wick, Wismer, and Youngberg. We have a quorum, Mr. President.
Thank you. And now the roll call by the Chief Clerk of the House.
Anderson, Bartles, Barthel, Beal, Bordeaux, Borglum, Bruner, Chafee, Chase, Schwach, Jenner, Denner, Deutsch, Diedrich, Duba, Duval, Fink, Freimuller, Glanzer, Goodwin, Gosch, Greenfield, Lana, Gross, Hammock, Hansen, Keeley, Howard, Hunhoff, Jensen, Kevin, Johns, Johnson, Chris, Johnson, David, Carr, Koth, Lake, Latterell, Lesmeister, Livermont, Marty, McCleary, Mills, Milstead, Miskimmons, Mullally, Olson, Otten, Herman, Perry, Peterson, Kent, Peterson, Sue, Pischke, Post, Puyer, Klom, Randolph, Rasmussen, Reed, Reimer, Ring, Round, Saba, Shane Fish, Smith, Jamie, St. John, Steele, Sullivan, Weiss, Wisey, Willardson, York, Zickman, Speaker Haugard. We have a quorum present.
A quorum is present. Thank you. I did note that it took the Secretary of the Senate a lot less time than the Chief Clerk of the House to call the roll.
Senator Langer moves that a committee of four on the part of the Senate and a committee of six on the part of the House be appointed to escort the Honorable Kristi Noem, Governor of the State of South Dakota, to the rostrum.
Second. Comments on that motion? Hearing none, those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. That motion has passed. And the presiding officer announces the committee. Senators Boland, Langer, Heinert, and Kennedy, and House members Representatives Haugard, Gosch, Qualm, Beal, Smith, and McCleary. And with that, I would like to welcome you, wish you a good afternoon. And I would note that across the nation, South Dakota has become known as a state that prioritizes fiscal responsibility. This year, Governor Kristi Noem will deliver her first budget proposal, and I know she'll again keep fiscal conservatism as the cornerstone of her administration. I look forward to carefully reviewing this proposal and coming together on a budget that upholds her priorities and that of those in this legislative body. With that, I would ask that the Sergeant at Arms please announce the arrival of the Governor.
members of the House and members of the Senate, ladies and gentlemen in the gallery and the listening public, please welcome the Honorable Governor Kristi Noem.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, and legislators. Thank you for meeting today to hear my fiscal year 2020 budget recommendations. As I mentioned in my State of the State address a few weeks ago, our state is in good shape. We have a lot to be thankful for. Today, we're not faced with making cuts, but on investment. How to invest for the next generation. How to invest in programs and policies that will make our state an example to the nation on important issues. The budget decisions we must make during this legislative session are extremely important for the future of our state. Since this is my first budget address, I thought it would be helpful to lay out the principles of my fiscal management approach. The leadership of Governor Dennis Dugard and many in this legislative body have positioned South Dakota as one of the best-run states, and I'm committed to maintaining the fiscal integrity for which our state has become known. A well-functioning state government serves as a strong foundation for economic growth. The previous administration was able to upgrade and maintain a AAA bond rating. While saving taxpayers money, the rating can be used as a recruiting tool for businesses looking for a stable state in which to grow jobs. Business leaders know exactly what it means to get a AAA bond rating. Rooted in fiscal conservatism, my administration will build on that success, making it a priority to retain that AAA bond rating. We won't spend money that we do not have, and we'll make it a priority to maintain 10% in our reserve funds. As I've stated before, we will not raise taxes. As you see in my budget, most of the changes that I'm proposing today are due to departments at my direction taking a closer look at utilization trends and program needs. I plan to continue seeking efficiencies throughout my administration. Finally, transparency. That will be a cornerstone. Today, I'm going to launch a new, more powerful and interactive website that opens up the state checkbook to the citizens of South Dakota. It can be found at open.sd.gov, and it's a site that's more intuitive, and it is easier to navigate and has exactly what you're looking for when it comes to state spending. So let's get right to the topic that is getting a lot of discussion this legislative session. South Dakota has led the nation in changing the relationship between states and the new era of e-commerce. The Supreme Court win was an important policy victory for our state, one that's going to help us maintain our sales tax model for years to come. My budget recommendation does not include any new projected revenues related to the new remote seller sales tax. We simply do not know how much revenue that it is going to bring in. We shouldn't plan for and budget dollars that aren't in the door yet. It's just not fiscally sound. Most remote sellers have been good corporate citizens by voluntarily complying for years. Some registered through the Streamlined Sales Tax Initiative for over a decade. Those tax collections have come in the door long before the Supreme Court case was decided. These collections are a part of our current sales tax base, and they are already built into the budget. Governors and legislators have been spending that money for years. Let's look at the numbers to gain some perspective. From December 2016 to December of 2017, our collections from the remote sellers grew to about $1.1 million. That's before South Dakota won the Supreme Court decision. This past month, December 2018, was the first month of collections in which we could enforce our remote seller law in South Dakota. Now, we did see growth again over the previous year, but it was not significantly greater. $1.4 million compared to the $1.1 million from the previous year. Now, as you all know, December is a big sales tax month. Lots of purchasing happens during the holidays. We can all make educated guesses about how this is going to play out, but that's exactly what it would be, guesses. As I earlier said, we don't spend money in South Dakota that we do not have. It would not be smart for us to spend or to budget for money due to this new law because we don't know if new revenues will be coming in the door. We should be patient. We should get hard data to make sure that before we make any adjustments to our revenue expectations. We need to remember that the work that we do here is about the future. Assuming growth now does not, and if it doesn't materialize, will leave us with a hole that we need to fill. A fiscally conservative South Dakota family doesn't run out and buy a new washing machine and a dryer and then hoping that they get a bonus at the end of the year to pay for it. We shouldn't run our state that way either. And just as we in South Dakota don't spend money that we don't have, we also don't cut taxes without a plan for how we're going to pay for it. I support the goal of what has become known as the Partridge Amendment. If the state receives a new windfall of money, a new revenue that comes in because of our new remote seller law, well, then we should return that windfall to the taxpayers. I know that there's interest this legislative session to clarify statute, and I want to be a part of that conversation. But I also want to be really clear today. It would be premature to attempt to cut taxes because of this provision. The windfall is not there yet. That would not be fiscally conservative. Now, this may leave some of you wondering why we've gone through all this trouble of passing laws to fight in the Supreme Court and then coming to peer for a special session. Well, those efforts were extremely valuable to the citizens of South Dakota because in future generations, we were protecting our sales tax base. The fact is today that e-commerce makes up nearly 10% of retail sales and growing at a rate of more than 15% a year. So people's spending habits are changing. Spending what we might have seen locally done decades ago might someday happen online. We capture many of those sales either because retailers like Target and Walmart, they do have a physical presence in our state, or they choose to voluntarily comply before the remote seller law was passed. It's easy to imagine a future where more and more retailers do not have a physical presence in the state of South Dakota. We need to ensure that our Main Street businesses are protected by leveling the playing field, and we can't allow the continued erosion of our tax base. Our tax code must be sustainable for the next generation. The remote seller and e-commerce policy victories we've seen aren't about the windfalls to the state. It's about preserving our sales tax model for the future. So now stepping back to the bigger picture, today I'm pleased to present to you my budget proposal for fiscal years 2019 and 2020. And specifically, I want to focus on the changes between the funding that Governor Dugard proposed in December and my recommendation today. So we will compare my budget to what he proposed in December when he gave his budget. I will share some thoughts about a few budget priority items that deserve special consideration. As you see, we attack these issues with a mix of one-time and ongoing funds, depending on the need and the strategy. Our healthcare systems are filled with doctors. They're filled with nurses and medical professionals who truly care for our people. But healthcare costs are continuing to climb. We have to continue to increase the rate at which these facilities are reimbursed while also looking at ways to make sure that provider care models are sustainable for current and future generations. With your support, we've been partnering with Medicaid providers throughout the state on care coordination agreements. These agreements allow us to provide the services that we've always been providing to IHS-eligible patients, but now recover the full cost from the federal government. My budget utilizes a portion of these savings to make sure that we put state employees in IHS facilities across the state. Their job will help to make sure that IHS patients receive the best care possible while also ensuring that we are recovering all possible costs from the federal government. Now, this effort is reducing the cost to our state Medicaid program. And my budget contains an additional $2.2 million one-time and $5.3 million ongoing in savings from these efforts. We will reinvest those savings to provide care to those that need it today and start the work that's necessary to build sustainable models for the future. On top of a 2.5% inflationary increase, I'm proposing targeted funding to those providers who heavily rely on Medicaid funding and have been working towards funding 100% of their costs. This means all the provider rate increases that I am proposing, they will start on April 1st. Providers will see 15 months of increased rates rather than 12 months. Many nursing homes in this state are struggling. Nursing home closures are very hard. Real people, our parents, our grandparents, they're all impacted. Some folks are simply calling for us to put more money into the same system and to expect a different result. And while my budget does include increases to provider reimbursement rates, I'm also proposing that we put $5 million in one-time funding to partner with providers to seek bigger picture solutions to the challenges that we face. This means nursing homes and long-term care will get $5 million and a 5% rate increase. We'll be looking for solutions that expand the continuum of care. And while standard nursing facility care is the best choice for some individuals in some communities, it's not the only option. There are other options that can be better for patients and their families and less expensive. We need to support facilities seeking to expand into community living homes. The creation of rate tiers to facilitate keeping residents in assisted living for longer periods of time. To support this effort, I've directed my Department of Health to review the rules governing assisted living centers to remove any unnecessary restrictions. But we also need to expand respite care, services to family caregivers, either through brief residential stays or by staffing respite care programs in the home. Families are so often the best caregivers for our parents and for our grandparents, but everyone needs a little break once in a while. So these services would provide that break. We also want our partners to propose new approaches that address the pressures, including the workforce challenges and shortages that are facing many of our community nursing homes. And we all know that preventing health issues is better than dealing with the bigger problems that come later on. Whether that's seeing your primary care provider for minor ailments early on or making sure that pregnant mothers receive prenatal care in their first trimester, early care is better for people's health, and it's more cost-effective than dealing with the problems later on. In South Dakota, we see creative ways that primary and prenatal care are delivered across the state to meet the challenges that they face in many rural areas. But this is still a challenge because in these frontier areas where we have to have not only care, but we have workforce shortages, we can do better. So my budget includes $1 million to develop solutions to providers willing to think outside the box to provide services to people on Medicaid. We will use a competitive process to select and fund new ideas to fund primary care and prenatal care in our state. And we will find what works for the people of South Dakota and develop models that will be an example to others. Next, I want to talk about public safety. I stand firmly behind the dedicated work of our law enforcement officers. And to better enable their success out in the field, we have to ensure that they have the tools that they need to be successful, as well as provide ways to confront the meth epidemic that we have and deal with mental health care. To accomplish this, we have to focus on three different areas: education, enforcement, and treatment. Early education and intervention is the first defense against this problem, which is why we must build awareness on this issue so every South Dakotan can identify the early signs of meth use. This isn't someone else's problem. Each of us needs to confront this epidemic in our communities. My budget includes $1.4 million for a meth media campaign. We will use this funding to reach out to every South Dakotan through various media platforms to ensure that they understand the horrible truths about what this epidemic in our state is and how we can overcome it. I'm sure most of you remember the story that I told you during my State of the State address about the meth addict and the baby in the swing. That's exactly the kind of media campaign I'm talking about. Something that isn't easy to forget. In order to prevent those future cycles of addiction, we can't stop, though, with education. I propose funding a life skills training program in our middle schools. This program consists of 15 sessions per year over the 3 years that students are in middle school, and it has been proven to reduce the risk of alcohol, tobacco, violence, and drug abuse through the teaching of drug resistance, life management, and general social skills. I'm also proposing funding for 2 additional DCI agents that will specialize in meth interdiction investigations. They will partner with 4 additional highway patrol troopers to get more aggressive in enforcing our laws against meth and to stop those drugs from ever reaching our communities. We know that addiction to meth requires more intense therapy to treat than other addictions. 2 years ago, you passed a pilot program that started more intensive treatment for meth. My budget contains ongoing funding to expand those program for those that have the substance use disorder inpatient treatment programs as well. We will expand that program and to make sure that we have programs to deal with all of those who request treatment. There are also great alternative care programs in this state, like Teen Challenge of the Dakotas in Brookings and Tallgrass in Sioux Falls. They provide valuable assistance to those seeking to overcome addiction. I've included funding in my budget to extend the opportunities for those who want to live in a sober and supportive environment and learn the skills necessary to continue to live a lifetime of sobriety. Unfortunately, the byproduct of this meth epidemic has been an increase in the amount of child endangerment throughout the state. Now, I would commend the work of the Jolene's Task Force, led by Senator Deb Soholt and many of you, for the work that you have done in developing the REACH program, which stands for Respond, Educate, Advocate, Counsel, and Heal. It's a successful public-private partnership that I hope that we can replicate throughout the state. This program is a testament to how we can better serve our kids when we all work together. And I've also worked with the Chief Justice in providing funding for a mental health court. It is requested for Minnehaha County, similar to the one that we currently have operating in Pennington County. This court will focus on clients with mental health needs to stabilize them both in treatment and medication so they can exit the justice system and decrease overall costs. Now, I'm grateful for this opportunity to outline ways that we can fund many of our priorities, but I want the people of South Dakota to know that there are a lot of things that we are going to do that don't require additional state dollars. Since I first talked about foster care at the State of the State address a few weeks ago, I've heard dozens of stories from people across the state that have been deeply impacted by foster care. One young woman, her name is Jordy, came up and told us the story of her family. She said this when she talked about foster care, which they've had 24 children go through their home over the last 10 years. She said, "It is all worth it. Every pain, every heartache, because being a foster family isn't about feeling good about yourself. It's about planting seeds of love in kids. It's about showing them what a family is like and what love feels like. It's not an easy path, but it is so worth it." I want dozens of families to have that same testimony. I want our state to be an example of strong families who help struggling families to create a better future. So as I've traveled the state and I've heard from citizens and legislators that we need more mental health services in our schools, we also shouldn't rely just on teachers to meet the mental health demands that we see in our schools. I'm also proposing that we expand the number of system of care coordinators who will work with our school systems to identify youth at risk for mental health crisis and to intervene and connect families to needed services to prevent more costly interventions in the future. Another large aspect of public safety in the state is the importance of a statewide radio communication system. Our state radio system is a single uniform communication system for first responders in every corner of this state. Most South Dakotans have probably never really considered it, which is great because that means that it's been functioning pretty well to connect our first responders seamlessly. But as many of you know and have been discussing, most likely with your local law enforcement officials, the current system for South Dakota will need to be upgraded by 2023. The estimated cost to upgrade the infrastructure is $9.2 million, along with additional ongoing costs to maintain tower sites and to keep hardware and software updated. I'm recommending that we start preparing for this crucial upgrade now by dedicating $4.6 million in general funds this year towards the upgrade. This is half of what the state infrastructure funds are required, but we have room in the budget for this known future expense. So the responsible thing to do is to start setting aside funds for it today. I will also be encouraging counties to start saving up as well for their portion of the costs. Let's be ready to go in 2023. And as I said in my State of the State address, few things are as important as kickstarting the economy. We owe it to our kids to create and sustain an economy not only that's strong, but that's diversified. We owe it to the next generation to give them an economy that offers reasons to stay in South Dakota after graduation or to return and to raise their families. We need to encourage growth and development in all communities, large and small. And we are, after all, only as strong as our weakest community. Agriculture is the number one industry in South Dakota, and I want to make sure we're doing everything that we can to promote and to expand it. So I'm proposing we move the state's agriculture development representatives from the Department of Agriculture over to the Department of Economic Development to create synergy with our existing economic development programs. 5 FTEs will move with this reorganization. Let's put ag experts in the Department of Economic Development with all the tools available to expand and create new opportunities. I've also shared my vision for broadband. We need faster connections to enhance the ways that our rural communities participate in the next generation for South Dakota's economy. I highlighted the fact that there are many rural areas of our state where there's a lack of access to broadband. Half our counties have rural areas where 1 in 4 people don't have this kind of service. In some counties, half of the rural residents don't have broadband access at all. State government's working on mapping out the gaps right now in our state so we can decide where to focus our resources. I've also charged my Office of Economic Development with building public-private partnerships to overcome the barriers. An important part of that process will be working with industry to understand current plans for future investment. Taxpayer dollars should be spent to bring and enhance service in areas lacking this vital service. They should not be used to subsidize investments already planned by providers. When we do identify those areas with no access and no market solution, we should be a good partner to providers. We should stand with them to decrease the cost of providing access, building a true partnership on broadband in South Dakota. So that's why today I'm announcing $5 million for the South Dakota Broadband Initiative, implemented by GOED to support broadband access in high-cost areas. This is only going to be the beginning. Ellsworth Air Force Base's substantial economic impact to our state is only poised to increase in the coming years with the introduction of the next generation B-21 bomber. We must preserve and protect this incredible asset for our state and for our nation. And one way we can do that is through partnering with willing sellers to remove incompatible uses on property surrounding the base. Through the federal REPI program, money from the state leverages additional federal dollars for this purpose. So that's why today I'm proposing a one-time $1.8 million appropriation to continue support for this critical program. Ellsworth is a major driver of the West River economy. We will remain focused on being the best state and the best community partner that the Air Force has. We're blessed in South Dakota to enjoy many beautiful and inspiring landscapes and outdoor activities. We must continue to be great stewards of this land so that our children and our grandchildren can enjoy the natural resources of South Dakota. So I am proposing $1 million in one-time funding to partner with the South Dakota Habitat Foundation to match on a one-per-one basis with private donations. The state is compiling habitat program ideas with key conservation partners, looking at both existing and new habitat programs, including long- and short-term approaches. We're going to focus on providing working land programs where landowners address marginal, non-productive acres and find conservation provisions that will improve their return on investment while creating more wildlife habitat in our state. Now, it would be foolish to talk about those investments in habitat and not do something about predators. Coyotes are devastating our livestock, wild animal, and bird populations. Other predators such as raccoons, skunk, fox are devastating as well. I'm proposing $225,000 in ongoing funding to purchase new equipment, to fund more air control operations, and other programs that proactively treat the predator issue that this state faces. And then finally, South Dakota prides itself on its many beautiful state parks. At 167 acres, Palisades State Park is one of the smallest in the state, but it receives over 90,000 visitors each year. These visitors are confined to less than 2 miles of hiking trails and limited facilities. The Parks and Wildlife Foundation recently acquired 257 acres of additional land in the area. My budget includes $500,000 in general funds to serve as a critical challenge grant so that we can generate public and private partnerships to facilitate the development of key infrastructure, such as new entrances and camping sites, miles of new trail, picnic and day use areas, and watercraft launches. This development will provide more outdoor opportunities for residents and more revenue for our park system. Let's get more people enjoying southeastern South Dakota as soon as possible. Now, we can't underestimate the influence of a good education. Students gain confidence and upward mobility. Communities often experience decreased crime rates, and employers get access to a skilled workforce, bringing good jobs and higher wages into an area. In many ways, South Dakota excels in the learning opportunities that we provide. But as the parent of a high school junior and as a couple of recent graduates as well, I can tell you that our education system faces some challenges too. We need to keep our best and brightest here in South Dakota. This includes those students receiving alternative instruction. My budget includes funding to make homeschooled students eligible for the Opportunity Scholarship. They will be eligible at the same requirements as all other high school graduates, and my proposal also eliminates the requirement for those students to take nationally standardized achievement tests. My budget includes an additional $1.7 million ongoing to fund a 2.5% increase for state aid to education and a 2.5% increase to the per student allocation for technical institutes. This will ensure that local school districts have the resources necessary to educate and train the next generation. Many of you have recently worked to restructure state aid education. I'm not proposing any changes to that formula so soon after major changes were made in 2016. I believe that education goes beyond the classroom and can occur at all stages of life. We need to do more to help families and to make sure that they don't become dependent on government. So I'm proposing $215,000 ongoing to support and expand programs like Life Inc. and Thrive. They're offered by organizations like Love Incorporated in Rapid City, if you're familiar with that program. These programs teach and give practical opportunities to adults and teenagers on the skills necessary to build and to be successful in workforce and in life. And as you've seen from the executive reorganization that I submitted to this body last week, I am proposing to move the Office of Indian Education, currently in the Department of Education, to the Department of Tribal Relations. This will give Secretary Flute additional tools to better support our tribes and their educational goals. We must never forget that we enjoy what we have because of the sacrifices of so many men and women. It's our responsibility to ensure that we provide resources, support, and guidance to the state's 72,000 veterans that call South Dakota their home. Since 1926, South Dakota has had a tradition of providing a one-time bonus for wartime veterans. I'm asking for $600,000 in one-time funding to ensure that those fighting to protect us today continue to receive that benefit. We are all well aware of the issues that our veterans face when navigating the bureaucracy at the federal VA. My budget includes two additional veteran service officers to the Department of Veterans Affairs. These additional personnel will help process the increasingly complex claims that our veterans have to submit in order to provide additional assistance also to the county veteran service officers. We can do everything that we can to help ease this bureaucratic burden that our veterans face. And recently, the state was informed and notified that the Michael J. Fitzmaurice State Veterans Home had been named the beneficiary of the estate of a career Air Force veteran from Texas. Master Sergeant Arlen Reinert was a frugal man who lived a meager life in Perrytown, Texas. Well, after conducting research, Mr. Reinert chose South Dakota as the landing spot for his life savings of over $1 million. This donation is not taken lightly, and we are humbled and honored to be the stewards of his legacy. To honor his service and his gift, my budget contains $100,000 in other fund authority ongoing to develop a scholarship program to develop the workforce at the home as well as enhance quality of life programming for the residents at our state veterans home. I want to take this opportunity also to reiterate my support for the East River State Veterans Cemetery. The South Dakota Veterans Council and other organizations have been working hard to raise the $3 million that they committed to raising to support the ongoing operations of the cemetery. The staff at the Department of Veterans Affairs have been busy drafting the plans and meeting the deadlines required by the VA to make sure that we secure the grant funding to open this new cemetery. We must continue to attract the best and the brightest to serve South Dakota and to do better to retain the dedicated personnel and employees that we already have. State government is the largest employer within the borders of South Dakota. We employ the breadth of occupations from groundskeeping to maintenance, civil and information technology engineering, medical and healthcare services, and leaders to make sure that the government runs smoothly. It's our responsibility to ensure that the state has the talent that it needs to provide the essential services to taxpayers and to citizens. Studies have repeatedly shown that the most state employees are paid well below the market rate. I'm proposing a 2.5% salary increase to address our workforce needs. Our pay structure attempts to keep the talent that we have, as well as recruit the best and the brightest. Pay and benefits are crucial to both, which is why I'm recommending an additional $1.7 million in general funds and not implementing the employee premium. With this $1.7 million in general funds, we can leverage over $2.6 million in federal and other funds instead of placing the entire cost on individual employees. Now, as you've seen throughout my budget proposal, I'm recommending a 2.5% for providers, for education, and for state employees. These services all provide a unique and a vital role to the people of South Dakota. When funding resources are limited, we often have to choose which one of these services will be impacted the most. I believe it's important to link the major priorities of providers, education, and state employees, and that these three should rise together. In the next few slides, I want to show you and to provide for you the total amount of budget changes, including those that I talked about today, and that were previously discussed in this body. This chart shows the amendments for the current year General Appropriations Act, totaling a reduction of $18.6 million. The next chart shows the emergency special appropriations included in my budget, which totals $28.6 million. And this chart is a summary of the fiscal year 2020 budget recommendations. This includes all the ongoing changes over the current base budget for a total increase of $54.1 million. This next chart shows a summary of the fiscal years 2019 and 2020 bottom lines. In fiscal year 19, we have increases of $348,000 in ongoing revenues versus adopted, as well as $2.5 million more in one-time receipts. As stated earlier, maintaining a 10% reserve is critically important to our state's fiscal management. In fiscal year 19, this amount of $7.2 million is in excess of the 10%. A significant portion of my fiscal year 2019 budget includes mid-year adjustments of $18.5 million, and the increases in revenue and reduction in expenses compared to the fiscal year 2019 adopted budget allows us to focus $28.6 million in the vital areas within our state. I have outlined some of my budget priorities for fiscal year 2020. This slide shows that we won't spend money that we do not have, that we won't budget for unknown tax revenue until we have more information. And while we have focused primarily on general fund spending, here's a summary of the total recommended budgets, including federal and other funds, for fiscal years 2019 and 2020. The budget I propose today is structurally balanced. It provides for a prudent plan to confront the issues that we face in our state. It also doesn't spend money that we don't have, and it doesn't needlessly grow government, and it doesn't require us to raise taxes. So I look forward to working with you in the coming weeks and months to finalize our state budget, to begin implementing the policy priorities that will improve our state for today and for the next generation. And I thank you for your service to our state and all of your dedication. May God bless the great state of South Dakota. Have a wonderful day.